discussed some halachas related to medication, foods that provide nutritional value, other medical benefits, and actual medicines, pills, things that are not necessarily food but may have anah, things you may say brachas on. We're going to now transition to something which is very much related to the bracha on drinking water. The Mishnah tells us this is the end. I know I was trying to go in order. I just want to jump to the end because this is connected. The Mishnah tells us in Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the end of the sixth parak, we're still in the same parak, so that's fine, that Hashosem Mayim Litzamo, someone who drinks water to quench his thirst, Mivarech Shehakol Nieh Bidvaro. The bracha is Shehakol, as we all know. However, there's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Barei Nefashos Rabos V'Chesironon. That's the bracha you say. Very strange machlokas. If you ask me, there's no machlokas. What do you mean? One's talking about bracha rishona, and one's talking about bracha achrona. What's the machlokas here? So the rishonim try to figure out what exactly is the machlokas, if there is even a machlokas. So Tosas writes, this is on Mem Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara there, just a few lines, says Rav Hanan asks the Baye, and others have a different version. They asked Rav Yosef, what's the halach in regards to the brach of shehak of water? Is it shehakal or is it barei nefashos? The Gemara says, Amar lei poke chazi mai amid davar. Go out and see what the minhag olam is. Apparently, the minhag olam is, as Rashi tells us, is to say a shehakal prior to drinking and to say barei nefashos after drinking. But Tosas Dibur Maschil Rabbi Tarfon writes that when Rabbi Tarfon says to say barei nefashos, he's referring to saying the bracha prior to the bracha of, prior to the drinking of the water. Barei nefashos is beforehand. And he goes on to bring a raya. The raya is from a Gemara Mem Dalet Amud Beis, which we skipped over. So you see that the Rashba rejects the raya, but that's the opinion of Tosos. You say it prior to drinking the water. So the question is, why in the world does Tosos think that shehakol does not suffice? You look at the Mishnayos, never do we see, other than Rabbi Tarfon, you never see that the barei nefashos is a bracha rishona, that's a birchas hanenin. Barei nefashos is always found throughout the Gemara as a bracha you say after eating or drinking something that deserves a bracha. So why does Rabbi Tarfon ignore the bracha of shehakol? So if you look at the Ritva here in the Sugya, Dibra Maschil Shosa, he writes as follows. Kilomer delo mishane l'shum mazon elo l'shport tamo. You drink the water, there's no positive hana, there's no benefit in drinking the water. Rather, it's simply a siluk, a removal of being thirsty. It's a removal of something bad, but it's not a positive benefit. Okay? It's not a defined hana. Interesting, just as a side point, the Gilyoni Ashas is a fascinating discussion. He quotes from Yushalmi and other commentaries on the Yushalmi that the reason why you don't say bracha of shakal on water, according to Rabbi Tarfon, and the same would hold true for melach, salt, is because there's a min klala. The Mishnah earlier tells us that on a min klala you don't say brachas nenin. Why is water and salt a min klala? Because it was cursed from the times of Noach and things like that. So, and he goes on to a whole lengthy discussion about it, very fascinating, but not really mainstream approach. The Gilyone Hashas, of Yitzhak Engel. He quotes from the, I think it's the Karban Eda and the Yerushalmi or something like that. But the Ritva himself says the reason why, again, you don't say shakal is because there's no hana. It's simply a siluk, a removal of thirst. However, Ben Yonah seems to argue. He agrees that there's no shakal before drinking water, for the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, but for a different explanation. This is found on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. On the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yonah writes, She'eno, according to Rabbi Tarfon, She'eno mevarech aleim lebasof klum, since you don't say a bracha afterwards for some reason, I'll tell you the reason why in a second. Therefore, lefikach haya omer she'mevarech aleim mitchila barei nefashos rabos. So why is there no bracha afterwards? So the Ritva also tells us why there's no bracha, and others tell us also why is there no bracha afterwards.
Everybody agrees that.
Everyone agrees there's no bracha. for Rabbi Tarfon at least. Not everyone, I shouldn't say everyone. A lot of people say there's no bracha after it to Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Because it doesn't quench your thirst. It doesn't fill you. Maybe removes your thirst, but it doesn't really satisfy. You don't walk away, okay, wow, that water is just great. I'm full. It doesn't really fill you up as opposed to any other food, which should give you a certain amount of calories and energy. Water would just kind of spares you. You disagree. I see you're... I'm saying it's like a meal, just the water alone. Just like water. I could have a cup of soda and a can of soda, a bottle of soda, and I'd be very, very content. I mean, no, there's calories in soda, and it's sugar and other things. Water. I think it's pretty clear. I think everything else has Muslim, which I'm going to call it, like calories. You have to make a diet soda. Maybe that's that would be a discussion of if the real definition of Muslim is a diet. But there's no feeling of satiation after water. Maybe your thirst is removed, but there's no Muslim. So there's no bracha afterwards. So since there's no bracha after the water, therefore you say bor nefashos before him.
I don't think it would have that help.
Yeah, it doesn't help, right? What do you mean? I understand according to the Ritva, there's no hanah, so you don't say shahakal. But the Rabbeinu Yonah sounds like really there should be a shahakal. But, well, since we can't say bor nefashos after, we say it before. Very strange. So what is pshat? I think pshat as follows. It's a sefer mechtam. Sefer mechtam is one of the rishonim. It's found in the shitas hakanmonim, these red svarim, red rishonim. I have it at home. Didn't bring it in. If you look at the language, I saw it quoted in, I think it was the footnotes in the Ra'ah. He seems to develop this idea that bor nefashos is something that's unique to shahakol. Yes, we say it elsewhere, but it has a special place for the mayim. Mayim is something that we need. We need water. Although it may not entirely satisfy us, it's something that it's a necessity that we need water to help our body function. So therefore, bor nefashos, Rabbos v'chasonon, it fills in all the things we're lacking. It's a special bracha that's for shahakol. Therefore, according to Rabbi Tarfon, bor nefashos is unique to water. Sorry, was I saying shahakol? Okay, sorry. So no, it's fine. Bor nefashos is unique to water. Maybe I was saying it. Unique to water. So therefore, B'tarfon says, Rabbeinu Yonah says, you have to say it at some point. Normally we say it afterwards. Now for some reason, you can't say it afterwards here, because water won't really fill you up. So we may have to say it beforehand. It's better to say the bor nefashos than the shahakol. Yes, they're both perhaps good, but bor nefashos is so miyucha to water, you have to say it.
That still seems twisted, because the more of a foolish in the Torah, that we should do is an after bracha. I'm saying like, you think an after bracha comes before bracha. Like when it becomes like, if you'd say one and not the other, you'd say after bracha. Because we learned the first bracha from the after bracha. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we have kavachomer, which sounds like the bracha before and is more logical. Yes, the source is on the bracha achrona, but the kavachomer, if you say bracha after, for sure you should say bracha beforehand.
But then to only say bracha beforehand,
But also, Birchas Nenen is derived from the Kal V'chomer. Birchas Nenen might be deraisa. Bor nefashos is sure not deraisa. I hear where you're coming from. Now, I think the Ritva also agrees to this idea of bor nefashos. If this lumdus is true, this mahalach is true. Okay, so the Ritva tells us you don't say shahakal beforehand because there's no hana. You don't say shahakal. All water does is remove the thirst, but there's no positive benefit. Okay, so don't say anything. Why does the Ritva think, according to Rabbeinu Tarfon, you should say bor nefashos? What does that accomplish? It must be bor nefashos also, the Ritva is also some idea of miyuchad, unique to bor nefashos. So I think this might also be the explanation of the Tosfos. The Gemara tells us that Makar makes a diyuk. Why does the Mishnah tell us when you drink water, litzamo, you drink water to quench your thirst, that's when you say bracha? As opposed to what? When wouldn't you say bracha and shakal? So Gemara says, let's say, la'afuki lemande chan kasei so someone who's choking on a piece of meat, you drink the water to get it down, you don't say bracha in that case. Because you know how, no, it's not for your thirst. So you take it just to wash down the meat, so you're not choking. What?
You're choking, you can't say.
Let's say you could still talk and breathe like that, and you could get a bracha out. Let's say you need to bring the. So the Gemara says, so Tosfos tells us that what's the reason? It's the same idea of refuah. that just like refuah, if there's no hanah for it, you don't say bracha, so tir, it's for refuah, it's to save your life, it's to protect you. You don't say bracha if there's no hanah from it. There's no quenching going on, so you don't say bracha. But what about afterwards? Let's say you take the drink to wash down the meat, and afterwards, now you're done, you had a lot to drink, you had more than a reviz. Do you say bracha nefashin after the fact or not? So the machlokes in the Tosis. Tosis quotes Rav Amram that says you do say bracha afterwards. Rabbeinu Moshe is quoted in the Tosis saying you don't, because you weren't in the henna anything. So what's the machlokes whether you say it afterwards or not? Perhaps they're arguing whether bracha nefashin is something that goes on, something that's special to water. Yes, before and you don't say it because it's, you're doing it for strictly refuah purposes. But after the fact, it provided some special needs for you, some tzorach of some sort. The water is a very important part of the diet. Therefore, you should say bracha b'ri nefashis afterwards. Comes Rav Moshe in Tosa says no. B'ri nefashis is not something special to water. It's whenever there's a certain amount of satiation, a certain amount of hana, that's when you say b'ri nefashis. Any question? Okay. Now, even though we said Ritva and Rabbeinu Yonah agreed that Rabbi Tarfon, when he says to say b'ri nefashis, he's referring to prior to the bracha, there's a machlokas still, we said. That the Rabbeinu Yonah thinks really shahakal would also be sufficient. It's just b'ri nefashis trumps that, while the Ritva says shahakal would not be appropriate at all. So let's say someone accidentally said a shahakal according to Rabbeinu Tarfon. We pass him, but Rabbeinu Tarfon, would you be yotze? And also another I saw interesting, Shaman Nissen didn't think it would be a good nafkamina. He thought everyone would agree it would work, because shahakal is the all-encompassing bracha. But the Shaman Nissen of Nissen Kaplan brings another nafkamina, perhaps according to Rabbeinu Tarfon. Let's say I had a piece of meat. I said shahakal on the meat to exempt the water. Would that cover? According to the Ritva, the shahakal wouldn't cover the water, the fear of Rabbeinu Tarfon, of course, because shahakal is not shy after water. As opposed to the Rabbeinu Yonah, shahakal be'etzim is appropriate, it's just that Rabbeinu Fashos overrides it. But if you were to say shahakal and basar to exempt the water, it would work also. Okay, that's just a theoretical discussion with the opinion of Rabbeinu Tarfon. Rishonim deal with it. Now, there are Rishonim, the Rajba among them, who says that Rabbeinu Tarfon requires Rabbeinu Fashos after the fact. You say bracha before and afterwards. Do you say shahakal before and b'ri nefashis afterwards? Do you say b'ri nefashis before and after? Okay, I'm not going to get into all the different shitas, but there's a discussion out there. Now let's move to the chacham, and that's how we paskin, of course. The chacham say, the Mishnah tells us you say a shahakal prior to the bracha, prior to drinking it, when you need it to quench your thirst, but if you're using it to, because you're choking, so then you would not say bracha of shahakal. Now, the Mishnah Berurah points out in Simon Reish Dalad Siv Katan Mem, doesn't mean mamish you're thirsting. You're in the desert, you're hiking, you mamish need water. If you're a little bit thirsty, not some, it usually means like thirsting of water, you're really desperate. Even if you're a little bit desperate for it, even just a tiny bit, your mouth is a little bit dry, which we'll get to the details later, even then will be enough to say bracha. Now, what other cases are there that you may or may not say a shakal? So the Rambam says, the formulation in Hilchos Brachos, Perk Ches Halach Aleph, Hashosim Maim Shlo Lirvaus Matzo, Tzameo, it should be, Eino Taum Bracha Lo Lefav Lo Lacharav. Only if you're drinking it for thirst, that's the only time you say Shakal. If you do it for any other reason, we'll get to some examples, you don't say Shakal. Very limited if you're thirsty. The Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is that way as well. So the Ber Halacha brings a couple of interesting nafkaminas. Let's say two people wash their hands on bread. And they need one more, of course, for Ziman. So normally the halacha is, if someone had a shahakal while eating with them, they could join in the Ziman, they could answer. They can't lead, one of the two who had bread leads, but a third party can join them if he had a shahakal. Now with drinking, am I allowed to drink water just to be mitzarif? I'm not thirsty, I'm doing just to be mitzarif. Writes the Ber Halacha, that does not work. You cannot say bracha in such a circumstance. You only say a shahakal on water when you're thirsty for it, not when you're doing it for another reason. Another example. You have a type of food, suffic what bracha to say. So normally the eight is, say bracha on another item that will cover this bracha. Let's say, for example, something I do. There's a machlokas, how to categorize something like ice cream, the form of ice cream. Is ice cream something that is a solid or something that's a liquid? Okay. The whole sefer on shelek, snow. A lot of halachas related to snow. The Gemara says in Nida, or it may be Babas, or maybe even both, that it's not liquid, it's not a drink, it's not a food. What is it then? To define it somehow. A lot of different halachos comes also by raw eggs. Raw eggs is liquid. The Gemara refers to it sometimes as a mashke, sometimes as a meichel. A lot of nafkamina is related to, let's say, the sheer, in terms of how fast you have to eat it. It's related to tumas ochlin. It's related to a lot of different halachos. It's interesting things. Mishnah Yaveh, Rav Joldi has a whole discussion there. There's a Chanan talks about eggs, raw eggs. One nafkamina is when it comes to a dessert. We have a meal, bread meal on Shabbos, let's say. So there are different halachas. I'm not sure if we'll get to that. Hopefully we will, but maybe not. Different halachas, what do you say? What desserts warrant a new bracha during a meal? When you have a regular meal, you have your meat, your kugel, you don't say a bracha. The motzi covers all the brachas. Comes to dessert, there's a discussion what needs its own bracha. So when it's candy or sweets, usually a shahakal, that's a food, you do require a bracha for dessert. But if you have soda or drink, you do not say a bracha at the end of the meal. So the question is something like ice cream, or if it's a Shabbos meal, yogurt, not yogurt, whatever, a frozen ice, some of these par of ice creams, would you say shahakal on it? So what I do is, I get usually a chocolate chip or a piece of candy, say a shahakal on that. There's a whole discussion why chocolate chip is shahakal. You say a shahakal on something solid, a candy, in order to cover the dessert. Now, this wasn't the best example, but let's say you had some suffix and you wanted to say a shahakal on water just to cover the suffix at hand. Can you do that? So, write to Mishnah Berurah, if you are not thirsty, you are not allowed to say a shahakal on water, because you only say shahakal on water when you do it because you're thirsty, not when you do it for another reason to cover the shahakal for another bracha. Now, Zosa Bracha writes that let's say someone wants to clean their system out. Whether they're congested, they say I have a lot of water because you're congested, or perhaps the fluids in your digestive system, whatever the needs for the water, or for a diet, they say it's very good for a diet, have 8 cups a day, just drink. So what's the halacha in that regard? So Zos Bracha quotes from Poskim, I think it was made from Rabbi Yashiv, one does not say a shahakal. If you're thirsty, yes. If you just have 8 cups of water just to be able to say the, you know, what the doctors advise, you don't say shahakal. Now,
I'm never not thirsty. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. So I happen to not drink a lot. So I'm never thirsty, really. But when I do drink, I'm really thirsty.
I drink all the time. I really could take water. Right.
Right. So you have to figure out what's considered thirsty for yourself. We'll get there. Very, very good. That's great. Excellent. So let's say you drink a lot of water, Erev Tish B'Av, this week, Shabbos. Drink a lot of water. You don't say you're doing it for that reason, because that'd be a chana. You just do it. You drink it. You're not thirsty. You're just doing it just to fill up, so you don't get tired the next day when it's really hot on Sunday. The post can write, you do not say a bracha. If you're not thirsty, if you are thirsty and you're doing it also for that purpose, you say a bracha. But if the sole purpose for it is simply to help you fast, no bracha said. I remember hearing once, I didn't come across it this time. I'm not sure if it's true or not. I'm not going to say it at Hazlacha because I didn't see it in any of the Svarim. But someone said that water nowadays is always a taste to water. It's not as plain as it used to be. If that's the case, there's always a certain amount of hana, though I don't remember seeing it this time, so maybe I learned it wrong the first time around. Maybe I'm forgetting something. Ah, very good. So let's move this out. Excellent. So you guys are just right on ball tonight. So the Piskei Tshuvos brings down that when it comes to seltzer, so if the bubbles that are there gives a certain hana in the mouth and throat, even though it's not like a taste, but there's a certain bitter taste to it. I don't know how to define it. There's a little taste to it. But he's specific about the bubbles. If you just have seltzer simply to wash down some food and you don't really feel the bubbles in your throat, it's just you kind of drink it with some other food where it neutralizes the bubbles, you wouldn't say a bracha unless you're thirsty. But if you feel the bubbles, you say hana, which I thought would be chiddush, but that's the Piskei Tshuvos wrote. Yeah. Right. But you feel a certain tingling feeling.
What if you're very thirsty?
Uh-huh.
And all there is seltzer, and you hate seltzer.
You hate seltzer. I happen to not like seltzer that much. I do drink it. I don't really love it so much. What? I happen to like, there's one brand, I like Poland Spring raspberry flavor. That's like the one I love. Is that a fancy one? The other ones I tolerate now. So you're saying, let's say you're really thirsty, but you're drinking it. So, yeah, I think you would say bracha on it, because the purpose...
You really don't like it?
Yeah, because the whole purpose of water, and so it also is to quench your thirst. So that's hana, quenching your thirst. I think so. Unless it's really, really gross to you. And then maybe you have to find out. Look into it. Now, the Piskei Teshuva brings another example. Let's say your mouth is really dry. You're not thirsty. I'm not sure what the difference is. Let's say your mouth is dry, but you're not thirsty. You wake up in the morning, and you know you didn't get the brush teeth, so your mouth feels disgusting, but you're not necessarily thirsty in your stomach for it. So then what do you do about a bracha? So he's not sure, he has a suffix. And he says, same thing, let's say someone is giving a drasha, needs to just clear his throat. It's a little dry, you know, the more liquid is better for speaking. So that too also, he's not sure what the halacha is. The fact that your mouth is dry, is that a siman that you must be thirsty or no? You could distinguish between your mouth being dry and not being thirsty. So there's some things to keep in mind. So if you have any suffix, again, always best thing to do is try to say a shakal on something else. Now, Tosa points out that this whole discussion when it comes to drinking water to help you from choking on something, that is only a case when it comes to water. If you drink water because you're choking on something, then you don't say bracha. But if you have any other drink, soda, orange, apple juice, all these drinks would have a nod to it, aside from the helping you choke, not choking, you would say bracha on this drink. Even though it's ultimately for the purpose of the choking, there's also hana that one receives.
Just to guess, even though it might be obvious, like what about medicine? Do you knock it up there or just swallow a pill?
So again, if you have water, clear for a pill, so you don't say bracha. Any other drink, you would say bracha. That's how we paskin halacha. Let's move to a different topic now. We've been speaking about wine, grape juice, olive oil, water, and I wanted to discuss a little bit about fruit juices and fruit tubes, but before we could do that, we really have to understand fruit himself. So we're going to put off that discussion until we understand, a few days, a few shiurim about fruit. So the discussion is found in a Mishnah in Daf Mem. This is fruit. We need to understand fruit and a number of halachas until we actually get the fruit juice. So it'll probably be a few days until we get there. Before fruit juice, we have to discuss even chopping up fruit, applesauce, jams, and then as it gets from the solid to the liquid, we'll have to work our way down. So I was thinking about this, but we're hopefully going to cover almost all the Dapim and Ketz Mavarchim, the sixth parak, and hopefully almost all the stuff in the Shulchan Aruch related. I advise that just for your own, it's probably great to chaz just this sixth parak, is 8 blot or so, just to, maybe 9 blot or so, and the Mishnah Berurah, very easy. Once you have all these things, you just chaz it, it'll be so clear to you, it'll be so helpful, and also get some of the English Svarim out there. That's what I do. So the Mishnah on Mem Aleph Amin Aleph and Brachos tells us that Berech al Peros Ha'ilan, you say a bracha on the fruits of trees, you say Borei Pri Ha'adama, rather, Yatzeh. If you do say that, meaning, if you, of course, the bracha, the Mishnah in the beginning told us the best bracha to say on fruits is Ha'etz. The Mishnah Mem tells us if you said a bracha B'di'evet, you said Ha'adama on fruits, it would cover it as well. About peros ha'aretz, but if the opposite were true, let's say the peros ha'aretz, vegetables, you said borei pri ha'etz lo yatzeh, so that wouldn't work. That's the Mishnah lays out for us. So Gemara wants to know, who is the author of the Mishnah? Who is the author of the Mishnah that allows you to say ha'adama in order to cover fruits on the tree? Gemara tells, I'll tell you who it is. It's Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion that ikr ilan arahu, the ikr of the ilan, the root, the primary source of a tree is ground, land. So you say hadama, the hadama is the real main source of nourishment for the trees. So saying hadama will also cover that which grows in the trees. How does the Gemara know this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara pulls up a Mishnah in Bikurim. As you've seen, and we'll see more, the Gemara in Brachos continues to compare Hilchos Brachos to various Zeraim topics. We've already seen a comparison to Truma, a discussion of Chomesh. We're seeing a comparison to Bikurim. We're going to see in the next few days comparisons to Arla and Meiser. So here's one compared to Bikurim. So what's halacha in regards to Bikurim? Bikurim is you take your fruit, the new fruit of that year. Which fruit does it apply to Bikurim? Do you know? What? The Shivas Aminim. The Shivas Aminim, Bikurim apply to any of the Shivas Aminim. The first fruit, you tie a little string around it, you bring it to the hole or whole nice procession. You go to the Beis Hamikdash, you eat it, give it to Kohanim, you wear baskets on your head. And when you go up there, there's something called Mikra Bikurim. You do a whole Kriya, Parshat Kisava. The Binyan Kisava, you have a whole declaration you say when you bring it. So there are a number of halachas in Mishnah start when you do say a Kriya, when you don't say a Kriya. So let's say your spring in your field completely dries up, or your tree gets uprooted. You have the fruit still, but the source, the tree and everything, the water, gets uprooted. What's the din? So Tanakhama says you could still take those fruit, maybe if you ain't no kore. You don't read. You could bring them. You're not allowed to read. Yehuda says maybe the kore. You could still go out and read. Why? Shemitah, there's also a comparison to Shemitah as well. Yeah. I'm sure there's a connection to every Masechta and Zerah, and there's something here in this part. My brother-in-law is actually writing a sefer. He wrote a number of svarim already on Zeraim. So I was using it the other day for one of the things I was learning. So again, let's say a tree gets uprooted. So Tanakhama says you could bring your bikurim to Beis HaMikdash, but you're not allowed to do the mikra. You can't do the kriya. And Rabbi Huda says you can. Even though the tree was uprooted, you still can. Why? What's the machlokas? So Rashi explains. Behuda says, who cares if the tree got uprooted? You still have the ground. The ground is the ikka part of the tree. As long as you have the ground, you can still thank Hashem for the ground. But Chacham say, no, it's all about the tree. The tree gets uprooted, the land means nothing. The tree is something independent. Only if it's connected and still have a life source could you say something about the tree. The tree is dead, dried out. You don't say mikra bikurim. So what comes out is, Rabbi Huda is the opinion that says if you say hadama on fruit, you're covered. So that's going to get very tricky. How do you paskin? Rabbi Huda is a das yachid. We don't normally follow the chachamim or Rabbi Huda. So maybe we don't paskin that way. Maybe hadama won't cover. So Tosas tells us here in Dav Mem, there's near the halacha ki Rabbi Huda. We paskin like Rabbi Huda. The Stam Lan Tana Kavase, the Stam Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't present a machlokas, the Mishnah in Brachos, just says the halacha is a hadama covers fruit. The fact that the Stam Mishnah tells us that it must be the halacha. That's the opinion of Tosfos. However, the Rivav, one of the Perushim on the side of the Rif in the back, Daf Chaf Ches Mem Beis in the Rif, he writes that we do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's the opinion of the Rambam, and other many have the gears of the Rambam, that we do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And in fact, if you say hadama on fruit, it will not cover. So the Achorim ask in Shitas Tosfos, why are you paskin like the Stam Mishnah in Brachos? We have the rule that says as follows: Stam V'achar kach machlokes. We don't pass like the Stam. The order of Seder Zeraim is Brachos is the first Masechta. Bikurim is somewhere after. It's the second to last one, I think. So it's a Stam, Mishnah, Brachos. Okay, it's a Stam. But if there's a machlokes about it afterwards in Bikurim, we don't pass like the Stam. So how is Tosas passing? So that's perhaps why the Revolve and others pass like Yehuda. But it's not really a Stam. It's machlok is presented afterwards. So the Rav Yoh comes along, and the Rav Yoh defends the Tosos and says, no, there's no Seder to Mishnayos. I mean, two different Masechtas. If that was true in one Masechta, that you have a Stam in one Mishnah, and then a machlok is later on in that very same Masechta, so you could apply Stam v'acharkach machlokas. When it comes to two different Masechtas in one Seder, there's not an order. Who says Bikurim comes after Brachos? Maybe Bikurim really comes before Brachos. And really it's a Machlokas V'achar Kach Stam. And maybe they were passing like the Stam. So that's how he defends Tosfos. Now the Shagat Arya has a different reasoning. There's an interesting Tosfos in Beit that says, why is the Mishnah always presented as a Stam? Oftentimes we know who the opinion is, right? Meir. Oftentimes it's Stam Mishnah. So it's right Meir. So why don't we just quote Rabbi Meir? So Tosfos writes that the reason why they did that is to give you the image as if it was Rabbim who made that statement. To make it, if you have the issue of Yochav Rabbim, Halacha Karabim. Just to present it as the Rabbim, just to know that's the Halacha. So here too, he wants to say, I'm not sure how he gets around the problem of Stam V'Acharkach Machlokas, but since it's presented to the Stam and it's a Rabbim, we pass in this way. It's a whole long shtick on the Shagas Ari Simon Chav Gimel. So that's just to defend, it's machlokas, but to defend Tosfos, we pass like Rabbi Huda. That Rabbi Huda would say again, the Hadama would work, and comes to Mikabikurim, you would say Mikabikurim even if the tree gets uprooted. Now the Rambam gets a little complicated, because we said before he passed like Rabbi Huda, like Chachamim, but really the Girsa in front of us, and the Girsa in the Kesem Mishnah is not that way. The Girsa in front of us is as follows. In Hilchos Brachos, he does passkin like Rabbi Huda, that Hadama covers a fruit. And that's how he passkin Halach L'maisa. Hadama covers a fruit. But if you look in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis, Ram paskins against Rabbi Huda. He paskins like the Chachamim, that Eino Kore, maybe the Eino Kore. So what's the Halacha? Is the Hadama, is Ara Iker, is Iker Ilan Ara or not? Is the ground the Iker part of the tree or not? To steer in the Ramam. Either the ground is always the Iker, and therefore you should say Hadama and be able to do Mikra, or it's not the Iker and you shouldn't do Mikra and you shouldn't be able to say Hadama. So Kesef Mishnah explains, this is in the Hilchos Brachos, Kesef Mishnah says there's a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi on our very mission in Brachos Daf Mem says that it's not only Rabbi Yehuda who held that way in regards to Hadama covering it. Yeah, in regards to the halachas of Bikurim, we pass them like Chachamim. But also the Chacham also agreed to Yehuda in terms of Hilchos Brachos. That Hadama does cover fruit. There's an opinion out there. So that's what the Rambam paskins like. We know many times the Rambam paskins like the Yushalmi. You paskin like this Yushalmi, that even the Chachamim agree that Hadama covers fruit. However, the Shnayim Ari doesn't really like this because he says that seems to it's going against our Bavli. The Bavli says, who's the opinion of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda only. Rabbi Yehuda, not the Chachamim. So great, there's a Yushalmi, but we don't paskin like the Yushalmi over the Bavli. And furthermore, he says, if you look into the Yushalmi doesn't seem to even favor that position. It presents it, but it kind of rejects that. So, Chacham does not agree to this opinion that the Hadama covers the fruit.
So
Shai Gazari gives a couple answers. He says as follows, it's really a suffix whether or not the Chacham hold this way or not. It's unclear how to paskin. So since it's a suffix, lichachila, one should not say a Hadama on fruit, but b'diyeved, if you've said it, you're yotze, because suffix brachos lahakel. Right, so
that's like the whole case.
No, I guess he's saying the whole mishnah is probably prefaced on a suffix. I have to look inside, but you're right. I hear the issue. I'm not sure he's trying to explain the Rambam, or maybe he thinks the Rambam is not sure who the mishnah is like, and therefore the Rambam comes out as suffix brachos lahakel. So the chachida, you don't. No one says you should. B'diavad, you're allowed to rely on b'diavad, even though we're not sure if the chacham hold that way. But then he says that really, Shai Gazari really agrees that Chachamim do hold of the Mishnah. Chachamim do hold of the Mishnah. But doesn't the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion and not Chachamim? The Gemara seems to say Dafka not Chachamim. So he says the reason why we chose Rabbi Yehuda is because Rabbi Yehuda is clear. It's much clearer that he holds that way. The Chachamim are not as clear, but the Chachamim are mode. It just, we chose Rabbi Yehuda because it was just much clearer to his opinion. Now there's really a proof in Tosfos that the Chum do agree to Rabbi Yehuda, because the Rambam, the Tosfos writes, what's the reason why the Chachamim don't allow you to do Mikra Bikurim? Why not? So Tosfos writes, Mipnei she'enu nira it's inconsistent. I have a field here with trees completely uprooted by the tornado. I'm going to go Mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sounds like I'm just doing it, just to do it. But like, I'm accepting the fact that he completely destroyed my field, but I'll do it anyway. So that's what it seems like. But it's only the appearance. That's why you don't say it. It sounds Mikir Din. Mikra din, Chacham say you should say it, but because the people are going to come and say, "What's this guy doing here? His field just got rocked. Why is he saying a Mikra Bikurim?" So it's going to look not so. It will actually do the opposite effect of giving a shevach. But Mikra din, you should give a shevach. It's just for the perception that you don't. So you see, even from Tosos, the Chum agreed to this concept of Rehuda, that really everyone agrees the ground is the Ikka part of the tree. Just a technical machok is what type of presentation, what type of impressions will happen, but Mikra didn't agree, and therefore Chum also would agree that Hadama would cover the fruit on the tree. So that's what's Pshat in the Rambam. Rambam, there's no steal. Rambam paskins in Hilchas Bikurim that you don't Mikra Bikurim. You may be Veinu Mikra like the Chumim. And when he says Hadama covers the fruit, that's also the opinion of Chachamim. So the Maariv Tzachiya says, you cannot explain this way for the Rambam at all. What is the Shagas are you talking about? If you look at the Rambam, Rambam Hilchas Bikurim, Perek Dal Halacha Yud Beis, he says as follows. Hifrish Bikurim, let's say you separate your Bikurim. And then the Yavei Shemayon and your spring dries up, or Niktzas Ilan, or your tree gets cut off. Our Mishnah. Rambam says it may be Ve'ena Koreh. You bring it and you don't read. You don't do the Mikra Bikurim like the Mishnah tells us, like the Chachamim. The Rambam adds a few words. Why? The fi shezeh kimi she'ein lo karka sherei avda. Because it's as if he has no land. He has no land. So it sounds like the Chachamim says, no, when you lose your tree, you have no land. You can't say bracha. Not because of technical reasons, because fundamentally he has no land. It's all about the tree being connected. So perhaps you could explain, defend the Shagas Ari as follows. The Rambam says, Kimi she'ein lo karka. He doesn't say, ein lo karka. Kimi, it's like, just like Tosos. He says, Kish, it's like, it's the appearance. It doesn't mean dafka, so perhaps that's what the Shagas Ari meant, it's this impression. But fundamentally, the Chum agreed to the Rabbi Huda that the ground is the ikka part of the land, but when there's no tree, it appears as if you have no land. It's going to be a incorrect and inaccurate shevach, the oppression to the people.
Because of what it says in the
Kriya? In the Kriya,
just the impression.
When you're coming, it's supposed to be a, you know, praise to Hashem of all the fruit, my field, my land, ha'adama shenasasali. But look at my field. So, the Maisa, we do paskin that say ha'adama does cover fruit. Now, we can't just rely on this when, you know, any fruit, just to say Hadama. It's only when we're not sure of the correct halacha. And the Mishnah Berurah just makes sure to, he says this a number of times throughout the Hilchos Peros. It doesn't mean because you're ignorant, you don't know to say a bracha, you just say Hadama. It means when after doing the research, so you don't know what to say anymore, that's when you could say, since we don't know, you could rely on Hadama in that case. But just to say, oh, I'm just being lazy, I'm not going to look it up, I'm going to just say Hadama, that's not enough of a reason. Has to be because we don't have a halachic answer as opposed to ignorance of the actual facts.
Are there any fruits like that
So there's one example, not necessarily a fruit. There are cases we'll get to. Raspberry bush. So there's a little discussion about the way it grows. I don't know how it impacts so much the halachas. Well, that'll be the next thing. Maybe we'll get to it now. But the raspberries, machlok is whether to say ha'etz or ha'dama. And we generally pass in ha'dama because that's the safest way. You know, the Gra gives an example. He doesn't give an example of a particular fruit we're not sure about. But we're going to get to also, probably in a couple of days, the fruit has to be a certain shape, a certain size. And it has to be ripe. So when it comes to grapes, we're not sure at what point it becomes fully developed and fully ripe. But therefore, when it's too small, we just say Hadama just to be safe. That's an example the grub brings. Okay, so it's 9:40. We have 20 minutes. I think we could do even another small topic here, moving on the same lines with the fruit. Hope it's not an overload of stuff. So we're actually staying on that daf from them. Okay, so the Gemara here, at the end of Mem, first gets into a little discussion of that a wheat is considered a min ilan, a wheat is considered a tree, and brings a brisa, a proof for this. What was the tree that Adam HaRishon ate from? And one of the examples, one of the opinions is he ate from a wheat tree. And some say, no, it was really a fig tree, some say it was a grape. Then the Gemara wants to know, what's the definition of a fruit tree? What qualifies for saying peros? Okay, we established already for fruit trees, you say ha'aitz. But what is a fruit tree? So Gemara says, there's a Tosefta in Kalayim. Tosefta in Kalayim, Per Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, says this is the klal. Know this rule. This is how you define trees. Kol hamotzi aleh mi karo harei ze yerek. Anything that grows from the roots, that's a vegetable. V'chol she'ein motzi aleh mi karo harei ze ilon. If it doesn't grow from the roots, rather grows from a tree, branches, that's a tree. Roots versus trees, that's the distinction. Now, who cares whether it's a vegetable or a fruit? So, in many halachas, in terms of kalayim, let's say, so kilei hakerem is mixing specifically vegetables with grapes and vines, that's a problem of kalayim. Trees would not be a problem of kilei hakerem. Trees, you know, fruits, have other halachas related to arla. Arla applies to fruits, not vegetables. So that's the halacha in terms of kalayim. Kalayim halachas, we define a vegetable versus a fruit, whether it grows from the roots or it grows from the trees. Okay, the question is, does that same halacha apply as well to Hilchos Brachos? So what's the definition of a tree, Hilchos Brachos? So Tosfos tells us, Tosfos in Daf Mem, Dibur Maschil Isa, has a discussion about bushes. What's the halacha when it comes to bushes? So he brings a machlokas, whether berries and things that grow on bushes warrant a ha'etz or not. The way I understand the machlokas is a bush considered a tree or not? That's the machlokas, I believe. The Tzlach takes a different approach. The Tzlach, the Noda B'Huda writes, everyone agrees it's a tree. They're just arguing out whether it's a chash of a tree or not. Is it a considerable enough tree to warrant its own bracha to call the fruit of a tree? So what does it mean to be a chash of a tree? How are we defining a tree? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, he quotes from the Chai Odom, the Minhag HaOlam is, the tree is defined by how tall. It has to be at least 3 tefachim high. That's a tree. Right, so the Mishnah, the Tosefta in Klaim said it has to grow, now it can't be from a root, it has to grow from above ground. Well, how above ground for Hilchos Brachos? It has to grow at least 3 tefachim high. That's how we paskin. So that's the case. Most berries grow in trees. So these are the exceptions. Strawberries grow on... strawberries is actually a different discussion. Forget strawberries right now. That comes for a different reason. So blueberries, wild blueberries at least. The difference between cultivated blueberries, which grow on above 3 tefachim. I actually once went blueberry picking. I think they were 3 tefachim high, yeah. But wild blueberries, not familiar with them, those apparently grow lower than 3 tefachim. Now, there's an issue when it came to cranberries. So cranberries are looking very forced safer, right?
So wild versus cultivated. Yeah, would be different.
There's a difference. Blue cultivated, the ones you say buying most of the tree are going to be ha'etz. If you're in the wild picking them, which I wouldn't advise anyways, you would say hadama because they're low. You look at the tree if you're getting it in the wild. When it comes to cranberries, I came across a machlokas in the svarim. If I force paskins on the cranberries, one should say ha'etz. However, in Rabbi Badner's Sefer, in Hilchos Brachos, he says to say hadamon. Machlokas, you say ha'etz or hadamon cranberries. So I decided I'm going to look into this, investigate a little bit. So, looking online, it seems to be the different types of trees. There are some cranberry vines which are called creeping vines, which just run along the line, very low down, clearly below 3 tefachim, and other ones grow on larger trees. So I wasn't sure what to make of that. So then I decided to do a little more research, so I called up Ocean Spray, familiar with Ocean Spray. They make cranberries, craisins. So family likes craisins. It's a little nice, sweet snack, a healthy snack. I like it in salad sometimes also. So I call them up, and there's no one there to help me talk about how things grow. So, very nice people, because they're probably out somewhere midway. Very nice, but not very smart. So I decide, OU gives the hashgacha. I decide to call OU up. I call OU, and they say the guy who gives the hashgacha wasn't there. The mashgiach who goes there wasn't there to tell me all the details, but the way that they paskin is, they say hadama, but I couldn't get all the details to it. So, next thing I decided to do is call Rabbi Forrester. Rabbi Forrester has this hotline, you ever call the Halacha hotline, it's great, there's certain hours. So I called the Halacha hotline, and someone says, hey, hello. I said, hi, I was just reading Rabbi Forrester's Sefer and looking through all, investigating everything. I think that maybe it should really be cranberry, should really be Ha'adama, given all the research and speaking to people. And then he responds, I realized it was Rabbi Forrester I was talking to, I didn't know it was him. I hope it wasn't like too aggressive on the phone. So he told me, actually, he was Choser. He wrote in a Sefer Ha'etz, but he was Choser. Why was he Choser? Because after he printed his book, he saw all the other posts were saying to say Hadama. Why did he initially say Ha'etz? So he sent to some Mumcha, some letter to Mumcha, and he got back that some trees grow, some of them reach above 3 tefachim high. So he thought, since some of them do grow that way, it's enough to warrant a ha'etz. But after all the poskim paskin hadama, and only some of them did, so he still felt he couldn't go against it. He felt really deep inside it should be ha'etz, but he couldn't go against everybody else, so he retracted and went back to hadama.
If this is a subject, why would it be a problem? Why would he even try to go for the ha'etz?
No, he thought for sure it was ha'etz. Based on the documents, he originally lost it, so he had no proof, but then he somehow found it, he told me. So he had some proof, so he still was convinced for himself, but once he saw that, he agreed to everybody else. So he said, but still, if you say ha'etz, it's still yote, because since it's machlokas, whenever there's machlokas, ha'etz, ha'dama, if you did say ha'etz, you're yote b'dievet. So my family, oh, we've been saying ha'etz. So that night I got home, I brought all the kids to the table, I took out the craisins, I said, everyone, take a craisin, say ha'dama, make sure that's clear what bracha to say, hopefully the maisa, they'll remember what to say, and I always remember, I think, I hope I always remember to say ha'dama on that.
So what about if you're like in your backyard, like, is it, can you say, oh, like, this is high enough for when you can have like ha'etz
on what? Which?
Let's say, even just like cucumbers, like,
they say ha'dama like, always.
Even though, like, they might ride up a fence?
Or? Yeah, that's not considered a tree. Yeah.
So they catch the fence, they go
looking it out. Sorry. So that's one criteria. A tree has to be a certain height. Now, there's another criteria that the Gemara presents to us as follows. The Gemara in Daf Mem tells us, in order to be a tree, it also has to have the following criteria. The chishak lislei lepiri, is lagavza, when you remove the fruit, the tree still remains. V'hodar mafik, and it regrows itself every year. The tree has to remain and has to regrow itself without you replanting. I think many vegetables have to replant each year, I think, but most fruit trees regrow back from season to season. However, the Rush leaves out one of these criteria. The Rush simply says that it's enough to have it grow back from year to year. You do not need the tree to remain, just the fact that it grows back. So the tree may die out, may dry out over the course of the season, but it's going to regrow itself back from the roots, pop up a tree again, and the fruit are going to sprout from that. That's enough for the Rush. As opposed to the Tosos and the Mordechai, you need also the tree to last. So that would not warrant a height. So that's actually very halach l'maaseh in terms of the number of fruits. One fruit is strawberry. Strawberries grow on a true high bush or a tree higher than 3 tefachim. However, the bush does not remain from year to year. It regrows itself back. The bush, I guess, dries up and regrows from the roots, pops up another bush and new strawberries, but the tree does not last from season to season. It's always a new one. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Reish Orchaim Reish Gimel Sif Beis that Tusim Hagadolim Besneh, in other words, strawberries that grow, you say Borei Pri Hadama, and the Ramah explains because we Paskin you need both criteria, and not only that it grows back from season to season, but also that the tree or bush remains from season to season. The Shulchan Aruch also Paskins this holds true for banana, what the Shulchan Aruch calls in Arabic Maozaish, which on the bottom in the Mishnah Berurah, I think, says that refers to banana. He passes into straight up, but banana you say ha'adama, because banana, the trees, if you even call it a tree, some say it's not even a tree, since it dries out each season, and even though it grows back, but the same tree is not there from season to season, it only gets ha'adama. Interesting, Ramosha writes, Ramosha was asked something along these lines, in Or Chaim Chelek Av Simon Pei Vav, he writes, he doesn't know what a moizish is, but whatever it is, it just follows the normal lachas. It just follows the normal criteria. But apparently moizish in Arabic is bananas, so they say. Now, another example of such a type of fruit is a pineapple. Pineapples also grow in a tree higher than 3 tefachim, but it too... Yeah? Yeah, it's like, it's a fruit. It's citrus fruit. It's so sweet, right? Until I learned these halachas as well, I always ask my wife. Why? Because first of all, because wives are very smart. That's one. Number two, wives just learn straight halacha. You don't have to get into all like the alumnus. They just know what the final halacha. So what we're trying to figure out is the food is not. Just give me the final halacha. Their mind is so much clearer than ours. So now I think I have it down pat. So the three examples of these fruits that the trees do not remain that I have, at least strawberries, pineapple, and bananas all get hadama. Exactly, we don't pass them that way. No, but yeah, exactly. Yeah, Rush would say all these would be an eight, but we don't pass them that way.
All for the same reason. All for the same reason.
Yes.
All lacking the same.
Exactly. All lack the tree. Even though it grows back, right, the tree does not remain. This is. I think it's a discussion. We generally pass them. If you say eight on these things, you won't be yotze. But I think I may have come across some discussion. But I think generally we say not.
Yeah.
think so. Now, there are other types of fruit. Oh, here we go. I have here the Mishnah Berurah writes, if you were to say I ate on any of these items, you should have a little bit of it, just not to make a bracha latala, but don't have any more. If you happen to say I ate. I think others have a further discussion about these. So there are two other types of fruits which also do not get ha'etz, and for different reasons. The raspberries. Raspberries grow on a tree, but they're different because they don't grow on the branches of the tree. They apparently grow on the trunk of the tree. Right off, I don't know what, I didn't look at any pictures online, I have to take a look at it. Apparently they grow from the center of the tree, and that's not a typical tree. So for that reason, there's some discussion in the poskim whether it's ha'etz because it's a tree, but since it grows on the tree, not the branch, maybe it won't be ha'etz, and therefore hadama. The generally way paskin for that regard is the hadama. Papaya also is very interesting. Papaya is very unique in many ways. And the general psak on papaya is hadama. And since it's also hadama, it would not be subject to arla. We said before, arla, the first 3 years you don't get any hana. The fourth year you take to shlam. That only applies to peros ha'ilam. Papaya seems to be not peros ilam. So let's see, what are the reasons given why papaya is only hadama? So the Radbaz writes that since the papaya, I'm not sure why this is true, to make it not a tree, since in the very first year, most trees take a while, grows, and then the fruit grows a couple years later, it takes a while. The papaya in the very first year, it grows their fruits right away, the first season. That makes it unique, and therefore it doesn't fit into a normal category of fruits. Now that criteria doesn't come up in the Gemara anywhere, that was read Baz on Chiddush. The Chazanish writes in Hilchas Arla, he says, why is it not ha'etz? Because since it only lasts 3 or 4 years and the papaya tree dies, so then if it's a fruit tree, so then it's always subject to arla, it's not mistaber that there are going to be fruit that are always going to be usur. Because you plant it, and you can't have it for the first 3 or 4 years, and then it dies, and you start another one, you never get to eat it. Doesn't make sense to say that's going to be usur forever, it must be hadam. He says that's not a strong enough reason alone, but to be mitzarfit with other reasons, as we're seeing, it's enough to say you should say hadam on it. Another reason given by the Halachos Ketanos, he writes, since the tree is hollow inside, that does not qualify as a full-fledged tree, and that too is only going to be a dhamma. So everyone seems to give reasons, but they all agree that papaya is only going to be a hadama.
Just a kind of a separate question. What about like, dried apple, dried fruit?
Dried fruit?
Dried strawberries, dried papaya.
So all those you say the normal bracha, I believe? When it comes to cooking them, changing other forms may be different, that'll be a different topic. Now, what I'm not going to get into, but it's discussed, things grow to hydroponics, or things grow in pots, not directly from the ground. Another discussion, maybe I'll get to it at another point, but that's something else to think about. Okay, I think we did enough for today. We did a lot today. We did drinking water, we did the definition of hadama and H versus that machokas, the tree in the ground, and then about defining fruit. What we're going to do tomorrow is a sugi of kore. Kore is a heart to palm, and the necessity or the relevance of kavana when planting a tree, whether that affects what your intentions are, what to plant with the tree. And we'll do that, and I'm not sure what else. Well, I'm sure we'll find something else to do.